are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Good afternoon, my friends, on this beautiful sunny day in Philadelphia, October 17th, 2022, and I am so happy to be with you today. We have a very special topic, but let us first begin in prayer together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we offer up this program to you today. We pray that all the individuals who need to hear your holy and divine word will be listening, will tune in. We pray for the intercession of your beautiful Mother Mary today, Lord Jesus. We pray for the people who are yearning for your intercession, yearning for healing today, who are hungering for anyone to pray for them. We offer them up today. We offer up all the people throughout the world involved in wars, in bombings, in hurricanes, and in all the droughts throughout the West. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your intervention. We entrust this radio apostolate, this radio program, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, so much is going on in the world and so much is going on in the Mid-Atlantic region. So much is going on in this radio apostolate, which is so powerful. I ask that you tell your friends about this radio apostolate. It is the Catholic radio network that needs to be evangelized throughout the world. So we're asking you today to tune in, to tell your friends about all the radio broadcasts throughout the week, and to surrender your life to our living God. And this is what we're talking about today, surrender. Yes, surrender. We all think we've surrendered, but what's the life-changing power of doing God's will? So did you know God wants you to go to heaven? I'm sure all of you are saying, what a dumb question. Of course we know God wants us to go to heaven. God's will for you is not to go to purgatory or hell. God's will is not for you to go to hell. Yes, there is a hell. God's will for you is to go to heaven. He's a merciful God. And the ultimate will of God is for you and me to go to heaven and to be with Him forever. God, my friends, is not out to get us. I hear so many people say, oh, I know God is out to get us. No, He isn't. He wants us to live with Him forever, and He wants us to live with Him and enjoy eternal life. This is what God desires. He's not out to get you. This is why He created you and me. And once we realize this is the ultimate will of God, everything flows from this reality. So open up your Bible to 2 Timothy 1, verses 9. That's 2 Timothy 1, verses 9. God has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of any merit of ours, but according to His own design, the grace held out to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So when you hear the term, are you saved? To be saved means to go to heaven ultimately. This is the general plan for all of us. And there's only one tragedy, my friends, and it's not to be a saint. You have a choice. You have a choice today. If you're tuning in and you think it's by accident, it's not. If you're tuning in because you're a faithful listener, thank you. You have a choice. You either become a saint or go to hell. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. So right now, you need, and I need, to make a decision to desire God's will in our lives. He does everything in his power to save us and to get us to heaven. He gave us his only son for each of us. Yes, for you, Joe, Mary, Lou, Luke. He also gave you and me the gift of free will. Oh, that's a powerful, powerful gift of free will so that we can choose to be with him or not. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God tells us he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his truth. God wants everyone in heaven with him. And yes, that includes you in South Philly, in Northern New Jersey, in the Mid-Atlantic, wherever you are, no matter where you are in your faith-filled journey, and even if you don't believe, God is knocking on your heart today. So who messes that up? You know, do we mess that up? I love, weeks and weeks ago, I did a program called Life is Messy, and it was based on the book of Matthew Kelly that he wrote. I highly recommend. But anyway, who messes all this up? We do, because we go against the will of God. We don't cooperate with God's will for our lives. You see, when we go against the will of God, we kill ourselves spiritually. It's an act of self-destruction. Adam and Eve were the first to do it. And when they decided they were going to do it their way instead of God's way, disobeyed God, death came to them. Suffering came to them and to the entire world. And so when we go against the will of God, we kill ourselves. It's an act of self-destruction. Because God loves you, me, and all the people around the world, we do not have to be afraid. Now, we'll talk about the fear of the Lord a little later as being the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of God isn't terror. It's all A-W-E. The fear of God isn't terror. It's all A-W-E. Now, I don't know about you, but I love sunrises. So have you seen the most beautiful sunrise and stood there in absolute awe, humbled to nothingness? Perhaps you've seen the birth of a child and you felt like, whoa, that's the fear of the Lord. It's the realization you are God. And I am not, and I am in all of you. Can you contemplate this for a moment? We are saved by grace, period. But we've got to cooperate with that grace. And when it's time before all of us to stand before God, and he says, hey, why should I let you into heaven? The only answer is because Jesus Christ died for my sins. And then God will respond to you, prove it. And then you'll have to show him the way you lived. But again, salvation comes from the grace of God. And this is why all Christians, Catholics, Protestants alike, they love the theme song Amazing Grace with the telling words, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We wretches will become saints if we keep cooperating with God, since we're all saved by grace. Now, when we surrender to God, then we can grow in his holiness. My friends, there are so many books written about holiness, so many talks, conferences on holiness. Well, holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. I'm going to say that again. Holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. And this is so important to understand in your faith journey. We're holy because of our baptism, because we've been set apart for God, because God dwells in us, not because we're good people. Oh, my goodness. Is that a revelation? I'm going to read it again. To all of you, holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. This is found in the teaching of the church. Do you remember the old Baltimore Catechism? Do you remember that? Why did God make you? I bet all of our listeners could answer that. God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. God created you, my friend, to be happy forever in heaven. This is the meaning of your life. But what does it mean to know God? It doesn't mean knowing about God. It's having an intimate friendship, relationship with God. You can know a lot about God. I know people that can quote scriptures left and right, up and down. You can know a lot about God, but that doesn't mean that you know God. That's right. That doesn't mean you know God, because it's a relationship that's a two-way street. Pope Benedict calls it a friendship with Jesus. You are my friends. He's our friend. Are we his friend? If you were to ask your top 10 list of friends, and if you listed them, I want you to think right now, would you put Jesus Christ at the top of the list? We need to develop in our holiness. We know that babies do not start walking as soon as they come out of the womb. So neither do we mature in the holiness all at once. It's progression. It's a lifelong process. And my friends, it's important to understand that we need to want this process to be ongoing in our lives, no matter how old you are. You're 10, you're 90, you're 100. It's an ongoing process in our lives to desire it as God desires it. Sanctity or holiness is a byproduct of love. Remember, it's not about what you do. It is not an end in itself. So people who stay so focused on their own lives, always concentrating on whether they did something good or bad, does this drive you crazy? Does this drive you crazy? I call it scruples. I've gone through that quite a few times myself. Get over yourself. It isn't about you. Say that a billion times. Learn it, know it, live it. Christianity isn't the focus on self. Surprise! Christianity isn't the focus on self. It's the forgetfulness of self. Yes, narcissist. It is the forgetfulness of self. It's a surrender of love to God the Father. When you and I fully surrender our lives, that's when we become holier. When you and I focus on our little acts of holiness or acts of sins, we become Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees did everything right. They not only didn't break the Ten Commandments, they didn't break the 700 commandments of Leviticus, but they could still be in hell. Why? They didn't break any commandments. It's because it was all about them, how they were going to earn holiness, how they were going to earn heaven. This is a big, fat lie, people. This is not grace. That is not love. That's not God's will. So I want you to think about the question, why do I want to go to heaven? Is it because I'm afraid of hell? If this is the only reason, it's an act of selfishness. It's saying, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I'll go to heaven. So if this is the case, then our whole life of Christianity is focusing on this reality. We are imperfect. We are imperfect. But guess what? Here's a wake-up call. We can be holy and still be real. It's a very big thing for us to think about, to be real. And sometimes people think that you have to act all holy, use holy talk to be a saint. And most of the time, it's the exact opposite. Look at St. Padre Pio. We all love St. Padre Pio in this apostolate. In spite of having the stigmata and the ability to bilocate, which means to be in two places at once, and the ability to read souls, oh, he had good moods and bad moods. Just ask the people who lived with him. When he was told that Rome had barred him from hearing confession and celebrating Mass in public for a while, did you know he went to his room and cried? Padre Pio, yes, and all the saints had to go to confession for their sins. And there were only two people who never committed sin, Jesus and Mary. This should give all of us listening great hope. Despite our moodiness and our sins, good days and bad days, God is still calling us to be his saints. It is he who makes us holy, not us who make ourselves holy. I wrote this down and underlined it 15 times. It is he who makes us holy, not us who make ourselves holy. For the key to holiness is daily surrender in our prayer. We need to long for God's will in spite of our sinfulness. We need to long for it. Do you remember the story of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati? He was a young man. He liked sports, having fun with his friends, rock climbing. He smoked pipes, as well as spending time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He took care of the poor. He sought God's will above all. Did you know that? And as far as we know, he never desired to be a priest, but he wanted to be married. So throughout his life, he would defend the faith strongly and was not ashamed of Jesus. He lived a full and fast life, and he died, did you know, at the age of 24. John Paul beatified him on May 20th, 1990. Pier Giorgio is an inspiration to our young adults, by the way, as so is Blessed Carlos Acutis, who want to be holy and still want to be married or live a single life outside of the religious life. And all of us know the story of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We all know the story of the one nun who she didn't like and who was really hard on her. And what she did, she learned how to be a saint through this person. Did you know that? Why don't you read some of her writings? We read in Hebrews 12:14 that we are to strive for that holiness without which you will not see the Lord. Ouch! Read that again. We are to strive for that holiness without which you will not see the Lord. Let it sink in. And this is what God says you must do to see him. Strive for holiness. You know, look, most people who are listening today and who listen to Christian radio shows and music, and we all believe we're good persons. We are. But if I were to ask you today, off the air, do you think you're a good person? I'll bet most of you would say, oh, yes, Anne, I'm a pretty good person. I'm nice to others. I don't steal. I don't do bad things. So I guess I am a good person, and I send food over to the pantry at my parish. But if I were then to ask you, are you a holy person? I'll bet you would say no. No, I'm not a holy person. And I would respond, well, we better be God created you. We better be, because God created you to be holy. That's who you are. We've got to grow in this holiness. You didn't come out of your mother walking. It took time. And after you were born, you started crawling, and eventually you tried to walk. You fell a lot before you could finally walk, and it's the same in our spiritual lives, my friends. Holiness is something we grow into. Now, I love the writings of St. Paul. He called the whole church the saints of God. We are the saints of God, he said. We're not saints who have already made it, but we are saints in process. And I love the saying that the church isn't a museum of saints. Oh, I love this one. The church isn't a museum of saints, nor retreat houses or conferences. It's a hospital for sinners. Sinners on their way to becoming saints. And this is the point of this radio broadcast. We're all in different stages of this journey, but we've all got to be on the journey. This is so important. This is what God is calling you and me to do at this moment. He wants all of us to be with him forever. And the only way we do this is to grow into the holiness that God is calling us to. It's your choice. It's our choice. Even though God wants us all to be in heaven, remember, he still created hell. And why is this? Because if there's a choice, there is no love. God is a God of love. There must be a choice. Where are you today? Where are you today? You see, the way we live our lives every day says whether you and I love Christ or whether we're Christian atheist. What? What in the world? How can there be a Christian atheist? Now, if we love God, we're going to spend time with him and we're going to obey him. And the only way you and I can prove that we love God is by being obedient. As Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Oh, how many young people today don't even know what a Ten Commandment is or a commandment. They watch the Ten Commandments at Easter time, but they have no clue what the commandments are. And you can say all you want that you love God, but if you not do not obey him, your very actions show you do not love him. Holiness is a process, remember? It must be the way we're normally growing, walking toward God, and what God wants of us. There is no reason why everybody cannot give God at least 5 minutes a day. Now, how many of us say, I'm too busy, I don't have enough time to pray, oh, I just don't have time. I mean, how do you have time to pray the rosary, I hear all the time? Why would you try to pray? What is more important, praying or eating? And if it's praying, then prove it by doing it. If you're not praying at least 5 minutes a day, we're basically pagans. If you weren't doing it, it's time you change. It's a time you start saying and living, God is what I love the most. If you ever want to be holy, my friends, to know God, to live his will, then the number one thing that we're all going to have to do is pray, period. Nothing else matters. You cannot begin to find out God's will or even continue listening to radio broadcasts like this, reading books, going to conferences, retreats, until you decide that you're going to spend time with God every day. Every day. You see, prayer is the secret of all the saints. If you study the lives of the saints, which are so rich, you'll see that they, even though they were moody, they had good days, bad days, they didn't do all great things every day, but they did pray. They were ordinary people. Yes, ordinary people who with all their hearts, they would strive to seek and love the will of God in their lives. Look at blessed Carlos Acutis, just a kid playing soccer, loved the internet, but he loved the Eucharist and he loved to pray. When you look at some of the statues of the saints, oh, they all look perfect, don't they? But saints aren't statues. They had good days and bad days, and they liked people and didn't like people. They had ups and downs like all of us, but they kept going. They didn't look at themselves, but looked at God and sought his will. Holiness is when God's will and ours become one. Holiness is when God's will and our will become one. So our number one goal in life must be to live God's will. And we must be like the saints and look at Jesus and his grace and not us and our weaknesses. This is the type of surrender we're talking about today on this broadcast. No matter, my friends, I know there are people listening right now. No matter how dark the darkness, and boy, there's a lot of darkness in life around us today. The light of Christ can never be conquered by it. We need to be people of great hope. Hope, what a gift. We need to be people of great hope. We need to be people who, no matter how crazy life gets or looks, no matter how bad it gets, know that God is bigger than everything. God is bigger than everything, my friends. We don't need to be afraid. Oh, I hear so many people. I've met so many people who say they're afraid, including some members of my family. We don't need to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the wars around us or when the world's going to end or who the next president of the United States will be, because this world is not our home. Heaven is. God is God, and he loves us, and we're going to live with him forever. No matter how bad it gets on this earth, our job is to bring the light of Christ to the darkness, to bring the light of the kingdom, and to shine the light of salvation to everyone. We are not to curse the darkness with everyone else. When you watch the news tonight, praise God. If you need to watch the news, praise God. Thank him. Thank him and say, I'm not afraid. I choose to go to heaven. I choose to live at the will of the Lord. And some people think, I know this, I can't be holy. It's beyond me. No, it isn't. God not only calls you to holiness, he gives you all the tools to become holy. Oh, yes. He's not leaving you in the middle of a field. God doesn't want us to be holy and then say to us, good luck, Joe, Mary, Lou, Sue, Fran. He doesn't say good luck with that and leave you alone. When you and I surrender in prayer and love, that's when we experience holiness. The vehicle of holiness of God is the Holy Spirit. For you see, the Holy Spirit gives us his gifts, and he gives us his fruits to grow in holiness. But we have to use the gifts. If you have a great ability to be a football player, baseball player, basketball player, don't you have to practice every day? My grandchildren do. They practice every day. The gift has been given to you, but you have to work at it. You have to work with it. You have to cooperate with it. Same with the gift of holiness. My friends, God gives all of us the gift, but now we have to grow into it. Wake up. It's time to wake up. I love the dinner theme for this apostolate. Wake up, America. We have to let the Holy Spirit take control of us and then work with the Holy Spirit every day by seeking to obey the will of God in our lives. When we surrender to God's will, we become an instrument of his will. Don't you love the St. Francis prayer? Make me an instrument of your peace. You cannot be an instrument of peace to anybody unless peace goes through you first. How many people say, I wish you peace. I wish you peace. After the break, my friends, we're going to continue our journey on surrendering to the life-changing power of doing God's will. So stay with us. We'll be back after the break.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
My friends, you're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network on Thy Will Be Done. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, and we're talking today about surrender, the life-changing power of doing God's will. My friends, I just want to encourage you to continue to support this amazing apostolate and to tell others about what God is doing in your life. Please share your story. So I want to ask, when we went to the break, I just had this sense, if you need to get high to feel good, I know there are people listening right now. If you need to get high to feel good about yourself, think about how sad that is. If you need to get drunk or get high to feel good about yourself, then you're running away from something, aren't you? A very strong sense. There are people listening today that need to get drunk or high. And God is saying to you, come to me. I'm going to help you know that you're my beloved son or my beloved daughter. And you are going to feel great love. You don't need alcohol or drugs to make you feel peace inside your heart. You need love. And I'm not talking about adulterous love. That comes from God, the God of love. So instead of running to all these things, my friends, we think are going to make us happy, we go to the source of love and peace. We surrender, and then we have happiness. So we started to talk about surrendering our will and St. Francis' prayer, very well known. Make me an instrument of your peace. You cannot be an instrument of peace to anybody unless peace goes through you first. You have to have peace first before you can give it to somebody. The same is true with surrendering to God's will. When we surrender to God's will and live it out in our lives, we begin to experience heaven on earth. Oh my goodness. What? We begin to experience heaven on earth. We can say and mean it, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The name of this program is Thy Will Be Done, just because of the gift of surrender. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Surrender and go to heaven. So I want you to decide today if you want to be more in love with God and begin to commit yourself to spending time with him. Is your top priority in life to become a saint? Mine is, give God permission to enter your heart. And your second goal needs to be to desire God's will more than your own will every day. And the way you do this is to say, oh God, your will be done in my life today. Hey, it's not really complicated. This was Jesus's prayer. It also needs to be your prayer. And then surrender to the Holy Spirit each day. Let him lead you and guide you. Now, the only commandment Jesus Christ ever gave any of us was the commandment of love. I give you a new commandment. By your love for one another, as such as my love has been for you, so must your love for each other, from John 13:34. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. Your love for one another. Christianity is a religion of love that follows a God of love. Did you know that? Oh, it's supposed to be. Are we living this way? Holiness expresses itself in how we deal with others. Holiness is not the focus on self. but the focus on others, period. Now, our job as Christians is to get out of the way and let Christ love through us. That's the hardest part of being a Christian. Somehow we always get in the way of Christ, don't we? The biggest temptation is to let our own ego get in front of everything else. I know I can do it this way too often. It doesn't matter if thousands of people listen to me or read books. If my work isn't done in love, it's for nothing. And some people think being a loving person means just being nice. Now, if you think that, read the scriptures. Christ was not always nice. Remember, he once called a woman a dog in Mark 7:27. In his humanity, Jesus had bad days, like everybody else. And it wasn't as if every time somebody came into his presence, they just felt the love oozing out of every part of his body. And some people, when they were with him, wanted to kill him. And a lot of people would not welcome Christ in our churches today because he would make them uncomfortable, just like he made the people of his time feel uncomfortable. But he did everything in love. Everything. Now, friends, we have to be careful when we talk about living a life of love and service. This is such a dividing line. People get this confused. Love means that you do what's best for people to get them into heaven. That's really what love is. That's not giving them everything they want, all their clothes, all the money, the mansions. It's what's best for people to get them into heaven, and it may be a little harsh. That's what love is. Jesus did what he did for the love of us, to get us into heaven. Now, that primarily means he had to die for us. And when you're going to love people, when you're going to die for them and put them in front of yourself, then your attitude must be that of Christ. He accepted even death, death on the cross. So again, I take the example of Padre Pio, one of my favorite saints. Wouldn't you be petrified to go to confession to him? Did you read some of the stories about him? You know why he may throw people out of the confessional? Can you imagine if you stood in line, and all of a sudden, you get in the confessional, and he makes you leave? He threw people out of confession, and he did it a lot, Padre Pio. He would sometimes tell a person, no, you are not ready. Get out. Whoa, wouldn't you die? I mean, I would die. I would be, oh, dear God, what are the people in line going to think? Did he hate these people? No. No way. He loved them, and he wanted them to go to heaven. So he had to do things to shock them, to get them to see the reality of what they were doing. And sometimes love is like that. But love always entails giving your life for others. When we're doing the will of God, we're going to have to do it whether we like it or not, whether we feel it or not. And the old saying, I know my Irish mom used to say this. The old saying goes, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. We need to do whatever God asks. It's as simple as that. Are we going to do God's will even if we don't want to? That's the real question, isn't it? You know, one of the greatest scriptures that I love is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So when Jesus Christ was confronted with the will of his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he smile and say, oh, thank you, Father, I just want to suffer and die today for you, with a big smile on his face? No. How many of us are in the Garden of Gethsemane now? Are we smiling and saying, oh, thank you, Father, I just want to suffer for you? No. Jesus pleaded with his Father and begged, Father, if it is your will, take away this cup. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He tells his Father that he will do whatever he wants, even if it kills him, and it does. I know this is so different from what we hear from so many preachers today. And believe me, I've heard them all, a lot of them, and I appreciate their giftedness. Too many preachers preach that God just wants to bless us and have us to be happy on earth. But God loved his son more than anyone or anything, and he asked his son to deny himself for others. How much more will he ask of us? Being a Christian, my friends, or a disciple of Jesus, is not about getting what we want. That new car, the big house, the boat. It's about doing what God wants. It is not about what we feel. It's about doing what he wants. Being a Christian has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with actions. So do it anyway, even if you don't feel like it. This is how you carry out the reality of true love in your life. Yes, this is how you do this. The reality is there are some people that seem impossible to love. Oh, I want you to think about it. Think about somebody in your family, your neighborhood, your work, somewhere that's impossible for you to love. Well, that's the person Jesus is asking you to love. Oh, I take a deep breath with that one. At the end of our lives, we'll be judged by how we've loved or failed to love, even those that we don't like. This is the ultimate test. How we dealt with the least of our brothers and sisters, the people we can't stand. Now, one of our modern-day soon-to-be saints, Dorothy Day, said it this way. I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. My friend Dr. Carmina, or Carrie Chapp, taught me a lot about Dorothy Day years ago, and she has a farm in upstate Pennsylvania dedicated to feeding the poor, and she teaches about Dorothy Day, but I love this saying, I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. This is just another way of saying what Jesus tells us. We love God as much as the person we love the least. Think about this. This is profound. It's not to love the person who loves you the most. It's the one you love the least. It may be a stranger. So think about the person you just can't stand today. The person that hurt you, maybe, that betrayed you. The person who rubs you the wrong way. Do you have a clear image of them in your mind right now? Are you feeling all those negative feelings as I talk about this? Well, that's how much you need to love them. Love is hard. When you love the person who is the least one to love, it's not like hearing modern love songs. Love is when you lay down your life for the person on the bottom of your list, the one you can't stand. And I know that this statement is touching many lives today. St. John of the Cross said, where there is not love, or where there is no love, put love. A friend of mine gave me this huge book of writings maybe 15 years ago of St. John of the Cross, and I looked at it and thought, I don't want to read this. This is depressing. And eventually I picked it up and read a little bit at a time. But this line in particular has touched my life. Where there is no love, put love, and then you'll find love. Where there is no love, put love, and then you will find love. Read this over and over again. Let it sink in. God can change our hearts on a dime, right now. As many of you know, I had a special relationship with St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And she had a beautiful framed hanging in one of her orphanages. And it said, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. And the fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. Isn't it beautiful? The fruit of service is peace. It's magnificent. So what we have to do, my friends, is take care of all the people who are least on our list when this program ends. But we also have to watch out for false humility. That's a whole other program. You know what I mean? The person who says, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm such a lowly worm, and as they play this holy game, there's a lot of false humility that makes itself into the church and into our daily lives at work. People think they're holy if they have it. I think the exact opposite. Listen, when the mother of God was asked to be the mother of God, she didn't say, oh, I'm not worthy. You better pick somebody else to be God's mother. She just said, fiat, let it be done to me as you say. If this is what you want, then this is what I want. I want what you want, Lord. No false humility in Mary. Humility is truth, and it's truth about who we are. It's knowing ourselves intimately, but it's not a focus on ourselves. I believe that false humility, it's a big one to go to confession, is always focused on self, and true humility is always focused on God and others. Now, I'm not talking about hating yourself. We're talking about living your life for others. And you can't do that unless you love yourself. Yes, you can't do that unless you love yourself. So there's false humility and true humility. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? There's quite a difference. You know, I've seen people thanking them, you know, for the amazing ministries they had or the work they've done. Thanks, but I really, you know, it's but I really, dot, dot, dot. Well, that's false humility. When one says something lovely to you, say thank you. Glory be to God. Word to God, all the glory. Now, how do we surrender our lives to the Lord? Ask God today how he wants you to love and serve. Tell him you'll do anything that he asked. Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Write down the names of people you don't like and start asking God to change your heart toward them so that you can love them the way he does. Become an intercessor and start praying for people. Learn to offer things up. Unite your suffering with the suffering of Christ in transforming the world. When it comes to discerning God's will, a person must be free to discern. We can't be a slave to anything, to our passions in the world, to the devil, to anything. We need to be free. But how do we become slaves? Anyone who sins is a slave. Yes, anyone who sins is a slave. If you have a bucket with a hole in it, you can put anything you want in that bucket, and it goes whoosh right through. Or a sieve. Think of a sieve. Money, whoosh, right through. Pleasure, whoosh, right through. Drink, alcohol, drugs, right through. Fill it up. Come on, fill it up. Anything you want, go for it. It's going to go right through. You might be happy for a moment, a day, a couple days, a couple years. It's going to pass right on through, and you're going to be empty. So the only thing that will fill up our emptiness is something that is eternal. And the only thing that's eternal is God and his love. So when you try to fill up the emptiness with other things, you're going to stay empty. Alcohol, drugs, adulterous affairs, lying, cheating, betraying, boastfulness. You're going to be a slave. When you fill it up with the love of God, you're going to have peace and freedom because now you're not concerned about yourself. You're whole and fulfilled. The truth is that God came to set you free, you, my friend, the listeners. Do you and I live in freedom or do we live in slavery? By definition, a Christian should always have peace. Peace should be out. It should be really our regular state of being. And often when Jesus met the apostles after he rose from the dead, he'd say, peace be with you. This is my gift to you. My peace I leave you. That's from John 20, verse 26. Christians should have peace in their hearts. If you don't have peace, my friends, today, it's usually because of one of two things. The first is because you're in sin. To have peace, you need to repent of the sin. I highly encourage you to go to confession, to repent, to examine your conscience. If after you've repented, and gone to confession, you still don't have peace, then the second thing you look at is as if you're doing the will of God. Are you? If you're not doing God's will, you aren't going to have peace. Sin, by definition, is doing things our way instead of God's way. So I want you to ask yourself, are you doing things your way instead of God's way? Remember John the Baptist's desire, he must increase and I must decrease? John the Baptist humbled himself and exalted Jesus, and that's what we've got to be doing in our own lives. So if we aren't, we've got to repent for doing it our way instead of God's way. Repentance is different than being sorry. To be forgiven of any of our sins, the number one thing that's necessary is repentance. It's not just saying, oh, I'm sorry. When we try to discern God's will, we've got to be more than sorry for our sins. We've got to be repentant of our sins. Now, some people will say, oh, this is the only thing I struggle with. So it's no big deal. Could be drinking every night. It could be gambling, especially the new online gambling and TV. That's a sin. People of God know this. It only takes one little thread to keep a bird from flying. Just one. So it is that one mortal sin in our lives can keep us from doing all God wants us to do. Just one habitual sin can keep us from being what God wants us to be. And we really have to think about these things, don't we? We really have to think about these things. Begin making a daily examination of conscience and develop this practice for the rest of your life. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, repent and show God you are sorry. Start the habit of monthly confession, maybe even weekly. Unless you commit a mortal sin, then go to confession as soon as possible. Be a person of forgiveness. Forgive everyone who has ever hurt you. And write it down. Write it down, my friends. Jesus lives inside of us, and our job is to get out of the way and show people Jesus Christ. Monsignor John Esseff in Scranton always preaches, be Jesus. Be Jesus to everyone you meet. Be an icon of Jesus. Can we do that? He wants us to be an icon of Jesus to every single solitary person we meet. We have to be icons of Jesus. Can you do that? We're all called to bring the face of God to the world. And when we're discerning, what does God want me to do? We have to recognize that we need to be Christ in the world. When we're discerning, what does God want me to do? Oh, I hear this all the time during retreats. I just don't know what God wants me to do. We need to ask, how does he want me to be his son or his daughter? If you will, in the world. Now, remember the words of St. John from the beginning. Sir, we would like to see Jesus and show people Jesus Christ. Yes, show people Jesus Christ through your face, through your actions. One thing that is often attributed to St. Francis, whom I love, is preach the gospel. And at all times, and if necessary, use words. This means that the way we're living speaks so loudly that it really does not matter what we're saying. Some people like to spend their whole lives focusing only on the cross. I don't believe the Lord wants us to do that. We must go through the cross, but not stay there. The Lord wants us to be Easter people. He wants us to be Easter people. So it comes down to this. Do you want to be with Jesus? He wants to be with you. And he proves it by waiting for you each and every day. He wants to become one with you in the intimacy of his Eucharistic heart. I encourage you, if you can't make daily Mass, try to develop a habit of trying to get to Mass more than once a week. you'll see how your life will change. You'll see how your life will change. God wants you to realize that he has a plan for your life. Yes, he has a plan for your life. St. Francis de Sales, and I've used this quote a lot, everyone needs at least a half hour prayer every day, except, of course, if you're busy. Then you need an hour. So if you're going to discern the will of God in your life today, you need to be patient. You need to listen, and you need to commit yourself to prayer, because prayer is the only way you can hear God's voice. It's the only way. God gives us signs. God gives us signs. And looking for them is not an act of trust in God, by the way. I used to be, maybe 30 years ago, always looking for fleeces and God's signs and wonders. It is about my wanting to see what all my options are and making sure I'm right, instead of having a relationship of love with the Lord. So instead of asking for signs when you want to know God's will, come to know that God loves you more than you can ever love yourself, and that he wants what is best for you. You can trust him with your life. Yes, you can trust him with your life. So when you and I say, "Thy will be done," which is the name of this program, or "Your will be done," this means everything in our lives today except for sin, which is going against the will of God in our lives, which will be God's will for us. So at the end of the day, even if it's a miserable day, you can say, "Thank you, Lord. Your will was done in my life today. I didn't like it, but thank you. It's what I asked for today." And no matter how your day went, we thank God that we have seen his will and his salvation. Remember the power of prayer. And Charles de Foucauld wrote this beautiful prayer that I'll share with you. Boy, where did the time go? "Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I'm ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself to you, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father." Lord Jesus, I pray for all the people who are listening today that you will surrender your life to our Lord Jesus Christ at this moment. Remember to listen to Kathleen tomorrow live on Facebook or on WTMR 800 AM from 4 to 6 PM. Ken Johnson will be back Wednesday with Father Doug McKay. And we have a beautiful lineup every day. Remember to support this amazing apostolate. And until next Monday, pray, pray, pray for the Lord's will in your life. And in the stranger that you least like, or the person you least like in your life, pray for them in a very special way and ask the Lord to help you to love them. Bring them from the bottom of your list to the top of your list. Can you do this? It is God's will. He is calling all of us to surrender at a deeper level. Take a free fall of faith. Allow Jesus to catch you. And until next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.